Can you imagine dreaming about being a gospel artist, but being known as a folk songwriter? That was Hannah Ackfield before she walked a path to developing her musical and songwriting skills to be able to write the album she always wanted to write. If you feel boxed in by genre and limited in your skills and style, this conversation will help you liberate your musical expression. Thank you for joining me for this club conversation. Welcome to the Magic of Songwriting podcast with iHeart Songwriting Club. In this podcast, we help you reconnect with and experience the transformation, the joy, and the magic of songwriting so that you can become the songwriter you've always dreamed of being. I'm Francesca De Valence, and I'll be your guide. Let it go. All will be okay. Hannah Ackfield.
Hello.
Big welcome to the Magic of Songwriting podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Happy Sunday morning to you.
Yeah, and to you also. Thanks for the coffee.
My pleasure. I know it's not Sunday for those of you who are listening, but we are recording this on a Sunday. Hannah is a Melbourne-based artist mm-hmm. who is in Brisbane on tour, touring her album No Light Without Shade. That's not right, is it?
That is right.
Oh, I was looking at you and you were looking at me like, I'm doubting the name of the album. This album tour has been a while coming for obvious reasons why people haven't been touring. And it's a real delight to see you sharing that music on the road because that is one heck of an album.
Oh, thank you so much.
One heck of an album.
It's the same reasons why why I haven't been able to tour is the same reason why it's so good, I think. You know, like just to have that freedom to just, you know, because I was in Melbourne and we were locked down for like what felt like 2 years, even though it was sort of off and on. But I've never had that space before and not have to worry, you know, like because I lost my job right at the beginning of the pandemic. So to have that space to not worry about money and just go, right, okay, oh, I can just do music full time. I don't have to worry about anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of those circumstances were quite ideal. Some very, very specific, narrow set of circumstances were quite ideal for artists, you know, that there was some guaranteed income, even if it was not forever, and that there was this space and time to be in that creative process and, more of those sorts of things.
Yes.
Without the other things.
Without the other things. I know, it's a bit of a catch-22. It's like, I mean, I feel like having that time is so rare and I feel like I've also, whilst I was very productive, I also feel like I've lost a couple of years. You know, it's just like, oh, that's 2 years. It's just gone and it's all a bit of a blur. Yeah.
I mean, you've created an album that is A, incredible, and B, maybe you might not have created without all of that space at the time. So I wouldn't look at what you lost. I'd look at this amazing, creative gem.
Yeah, grateful for it.
Yeah,
but I have thought about like, it wouldn't be as good without that time and focus and just like every day. 3 o'clock hit, okay, it's time to go up, work on that song, write a new song.
This is the discipline that I think we as songwriters can find tricky when we're navigating other jobs and the lures of life, you know, the other shiny things.
Yeah, totally. Money.
So your album was released in August 21 and it's a year.
Yeah, it's nearly a year.
It's unusual to wait a year to tour an album, but tell us about how that's being received from your fans and where you're touring to now.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of touring. I've just done the East Coast, really. I haven't been over to WA. Part of the reason I waited is because it was sort of so unknown. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to book it really far in advance because then maybe, you know, maybe I can do it. But the fans, it's been really great. Really excellent, actually. And probably what I've noticed in myself and with the audience is like, I'm just super grateful for the connection. And so it's a real, I'm just leaning right into that and we're just having a really good time at every show. You know, it's like anything can happen. Like I was in Adelaide and I was just, I don't know, I just got inspired. And I was like, does anybody want to try any Whitney vocal over the top of this guitar? And this woman put up her hand. She's like, yeah. And she came up. She's like, oh, I'm Katie. I'm Katie from the 80s. And she started singing. It was amazing, you know. So, yeah, I've sort of just been trying to lean into that.
I think the audience is leaning into that too by the sounds of it. Like everyone's leaning into experiences that they want to have.
Yeah.
And if anything, the last couple of years has given us a lens to, you know, see what we really do want and what we really don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we, you know, had less choices and or more restricted choices for a certain period of time, when we were able to go and be a bit more liberated and do what we want, we chose the things that we were seeking more of, right?
Oh, totally. So we
knew what we wanted to do more of. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like your audience has been hungry to meet up and listen to fantastic soulful music, which is the music that you make, Hannah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It's been good fun. Yeah.
I remember listening to your album before it came out. You gave me a little sneak peek.
Yeah.
And I just remember just being like, holy guacamole, this is amazing. It was, I mean, you'd released a couple of singles in the lead up to the album. And I just was blown away. Like we've shared a couple of terms to get quite a lot of terms together in the club.
We have, yeah.
And I've heard the, you know, the 1 hour, whatever we do in that first demo version, you know, the first draft.
Yeah.
And they just were shining so brightly, like they were like their own constellations when they were on the album with this incredible arrangement and strings and vocal performance and style and.
And I played with some amazing musicians as well.
Yeah.
And we also recorded it live. I mean, I redid the vocals, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that really helped sort of get a little bit of
vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get the vibe. But also, like, as a songwriter, I find that I'm not lucky in that they always just fall out 100%. So I have to work for my own standards quite hard to get it to a point where I'm like, oh, okay, now that's done. And for me, that's a bit of a process where maybe I go back and revisit it a few times until, oh, okay, I feel like that's right for me. And so I definitely did that with these songs, you know, and like the stuff that you would have heard, like some of that with the songwriting process, because I'd been doing folk music with my brother, which, you know, I used to just sit down with a guitar and write the song at the same time, you know, or the vocal melody, I'd just do it all at once. But for a lot of these songs, like I try to, because, you know, the songwriting club is so fun and you can just sort of play around and experiment. So like sometimes, you know, maybe I'd write the guitar and then I'd write the backing vocals and then I'd write the rest of the song, or, you know, I'd find a tragic garage band loop and then write the song around that. And like, if you listen to like, there's one song on the album that was, you know, like the loop was pretty, anyway, you know, and I even referenced Whitney Houston in the demo, if you remember. Yeah. But, you know, it's, I think that creativity where you can just play around and then not having an instrument in my hand, it meant that I could really play around with the vocal melodies as well and have some fun, you know?
Yeah, I did a solo episode a little while back around, you know, ways to change up your songwriting if you're feeling bored.
Yeah.
And, yeah, one of my suggestions is using the loops, and because you're not bound by, I suppose, in some way, like what your body's doing with an instrument. And then you are bound somewhat harmonically to what the loop's doing or rhythmically to what the loop's doing, but there's a different sense of freedom, isn't there?
Oh, there is. And if you record it at the same time, you're like, then I would listen back and go, oh, I really like that, but maybe I don't like that. So then just play around with it some more and more and more. And like, yeah, it was just.
Yeah. So I want to talk about the album recording process, because that was really special by the sounds of it. But also before that, I want to go back to, if I look up your artist profile on any streaming site,
yes,
your first release as Hannah Ackfield is 2019 with Gold.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, the first one on Spotify.
The first one on Spotify. But this was not your first, you're not a first-time artist. You're not emerging as an artist. You're an established artist. But you hadn't released any solo material.
Well, no, I hadn't released any solo material for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And it was a different, totally different style. So I released two solo EPs, one in maybe like 2008 and then 2010, I think. And they were really quite folk and maybe folk country even a little bit, folk country pop or something. And so I took them down off Spotify because I knew that I was like, probably the music I'm making now is the music I always wanted to make, but just didn't have the skills yet to do it. And so, I've had to go through all the other stuff to get to this point, but stylistically it was just way different. And I wanted to be getting gigs and I wanted it to be like the reference of what I'm moving towards. That's why I took it down. But yeah, I've done all kinds of music. I've always been a bit of a writer of different genres. And
you wrote with your brother and you had a duo for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. We released two albums together and an EP and
lots of touring.
Lots of touring. Yeah. And all that sort of stuff. And then I was sang in a gospel choir because I loved Sister Act. It was the main reason.
Yeah.
I used to watch that movie so much. Like, I don't know, we didn't always have a TV as kids. We sometimes had a TV. And we were only really allowed to watch the ABC, which, I get that. They didn't want us corrupted. So the two movies that we really watched a lot was Cool Runnings and Sister Act, and that music. I was like, oh, I want to learn how to do that. Yeah.
My two movies I watched a lot was The Sound of Music and Annie.
Oh, Annie, yes. We also watch The Sound of Music sometimes, yeah.
Oh, they're to me like the iconic movies of my childhood.
Yeah.
Here's a question that every musician and songwriter gets asked, but they don't get asked it in the way I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
So the way that they normally get asked is, tell us about what you make. Tell us what genre do you write? I can see your eyes are rolling. Okay, yeah. So how do you navigate that question?
Yeah, well, it's difficult because I don't really know myself sometimes. I just am like, oh, whatever comes out.
Yeah.
I love all kinds of music and so I think that is probably reflective. But, yeah, it is a tough – I sort of say like soul, gospel, pop, indie folk or something, some kind of blend of all those things. Yeah, but it's so difficult to define your own music.
Totally, totally difficult. I really don't love that question in any way, shape or form.
No.
Yet it continues to get asked.
Well, yeah. Yeah, all the time.
So listeners out there, let's ask different questions. Now, I get that from an industry point of view, there's programming based on like radio programming or Spotify playlist programming, not even just Spotify. Or, if you're, working with any synchronization and licensing, there's, definitely, genres or tags that we need to kind of fit mm-hmm. or filter or to make a brief work.
Yes.
But the rest of the world, you don't need to know what genre this
is. That's so true. I didn't think
experience
about that.
Experience it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really feel as in the creative process, just as you said, it all just comes, I'm paraphrasing, all comes mm-hmm. through me. It just comes to me.
Yeah.
And I just shape it into this life form, into this form of music. And I don't kind of go, I'm going to write a song with a bit of, Sister Act meets Carole King.
Yeah. That's not even on the radar.
Though I think a bit of your album is a bit Sister Act meets Carole King.
Probably. I like them both.
Yeah. So then, your last solo album, which is Hidden from the World, 2008, I think. So we've got, you know, that's quite a bit of time.
Yes.
What are the skills that you needed to develop to be able to create the album that you have always wanted to make?
Well, I've always loved soul music and like Motown. Like my dad listened to like, I mean, he has a very, they both have very musical taste, but like Stevie Wonder was big in our house. And I just love that so much, you know? But I didn't, you know, like I would sit down and write a song and I just didn't have the I hadn't absorbed any of that to like perform it, you know, like none of the songs I wrote came out like that.
So what were they coming out based on? Like I think that whatever you consume is what you poop.
Yeah.
there's just no other way for me to really say that. Like what you take in, you let out.
Yes.
So if you're consuming Stevie Wonder, but you're writing folk country, like where was that? Was there some other link and reference to folk country? Were you listening to that?
I mean, there was James Taylor, Joni Mitchell, all of those growing up. Mum and Dad both play acoustic guitar. So we had acoustic guitars around the house. I started on the bass guitar. My first band, like I was into grunge. That was my main, you know, with all of those influences, you know, but I was always really very interested in really good singers. Like whilst I had, you know, like the Rage Against the Machine album, like I also had Mariah Carey's, you know, Fantasy or whatever, you know, like, so I did have a big interest in that. But yeah, I mean, when I joined a gospel choir, I was like, oh, this, cause I'm just a self-taught musician, right? Like I have studied music, but theory is not my strong suit. Like my ear is my strong suit. So, you know, I don't think about music in those ways, but like joining a gospel choir and having to learn those different runs, those vocal runs that are a bit, they're in a different sort of scale, you know, they're doing different things. Yeah. All of that was a bit foreign at first. I was like, oh, okay. And it took me a while to get used to. But then after a while, I was way more confident in sort of like ad-libbing that. And then I've just, you know, totally absorbed a whole chunk of that. And especially with the phrasing, you know, like gospel music, and Aretha Franklin, her phrasing, you know, she's never coming in where you expect her to come in. And, that's one thing I really love about that music is just there's a whole sort of freedom to it.
I think that is born, this is just from my own like history of music understanding, that's born from the sort of the jazz idiom.
Yes.
And the freedom that came from the improvisation and the mimicking of instrumentation.
Yes.
And that was, you know, the soul and R&B entrance, you know, was through that. It was birthed through that, I believe, and I could be completely wrong, but that's my understanding of it. And I do think that the phrasing is more, it almost feels more expression rather than based on craft. I'm not saying that they're totally, disengaged from each other. They are engaged, but I do think that, you know, I saw Aretha play in LA. In LA.
You saw her live?
Live.
Oh my God.
You know, I was like five people in to her. Yeah. She's five people away from me.
Wow.
And I remember just standing there, just like jaw agasp.
Yeah.
Just listening to this soulful being expressing in front of me. And it just was like, it wasn't like she wasn't thinking. Like when you craft, you're almost thinking a little, you know, you're like, if this goes there, then this can go there. And like, she was just.
Oh yeah. You're right. It's expression. Total expression. Yeah. And I guess the other thing as a singer, like, it was really good for me to learn how to use my voice a bit more fully. Like, how do I do that? And how do I do that? And, just, you know, like I've watched Aretha Franklin, like I went to see, you know, she recorded that gospel album in a church and they made the film.
They made the documentary.
Yeah, they made the doco.
I saw the doco.
And I'm like watching her mouth and just the placement in the body with the voice. Yeah, right in here, but then also the way that she's moving her mouth sometimes. And, yeah. You know, and they open their bodies yeah. right up and, yeah, I just love all that.
Mm. I think there's a in the church gospel singing, there's a full embodiment mm-hmm. of music. Like the music is in your body. And I didn't experience any of that growing up in, you know, Southeast Queensland in Australia. I felt like, you know, if we sing, we just, you know, I mean, like I was never a shy kid.
Yes.
But there's still a sense of I'm going to hold back a little bit. I'm going to, you know, just use the little part of my voice. And, yes. and I don't know how to embody my voice. And I don't know how to make my entire body be an expression mm-hmm. through that my voice expresses out to the world. Like, and I do think that, that I get the energy that gospel singing and that church gospel singing.
Yes.
Where it's like a culture yeah. of, you've been totally. In a gospel choir. Do you
yeah,
get it?
I totally get what you mean. Well, there was an element of when I was doing solos with the gospel choir where actually you couldn't think about it. You just had to really just let it happen.
Like harness yourself.
Yeah. Like not think about it too much, like do all the pre-work, but like you're so in the moment and it's so connected to something else, you know, whether, you know, I'm not religious, but I guess you're just connected to everybody yeah. else in there, and there's a real rawness and there's a realness.
So you've had all these experiences, you know, learning how to use your voice in new ways, experiencing new music, and the embodying that in your voice. You know, mm-hmm. singing those scales and those modes and those runs, and then you come back to songwriting, or had you been writing through that as well?
I mean, I had been writing with my brother.
Yeah.
And probably, you know, like I was doing both at the same time. I was doing the Ackfields and I was also doing the gospel choir. And so there was a real progression. I could definitely, it kind of got to a point where I was like, oh, what I was doing with my brother was not quite enough for me musically.
Yeah.
Anymore, because it had sort of, because in the beginning I'm like, you know, learning a lot, and then it sort of got to the point where it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I really want to be able to express myself a bit differently with my songwriting. So I was still writing, but I had definitely thought to myself, I don't know if I'd ever said it out loud, but like, okay, I just have to write folk songs, like, because, you know, so I had in the past written a little bit of everything. I was like, okay, well, we're doing folk, so I just have to write folk songs. That's my main thing, you know. Got to stick to a genre because that's the best thing for what we're doing, you know.
Such an interesting story you told yourself.
I know, right?
Mm.
And whereas, so, yeah, but so it's sort of got to a point where it was like, okay, well, I want to try something different musically. And then he was also, like, he had three kids and then they got pregnant with twins. So it was like sort of, you know, just the right time. Mm-hmm. Not that we won't ever do anything together again. I think we
possibly. He has five children.
Yeah, he's got five kids. Okay, yeah,
wow. I just wanted to make sure I understood that.
Yeah, and the two youngest twins. So it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy at his house. It's wild. Yeah.
You're birthing songs, he's birthing babies.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
So it was the right time to kind of.
It was the right time.
Finish up that project and start exploring songwriting. So how did you, to me, I just feel like that would be messy. Like just how would you, I mean, songwriting is gloriously messy, right?
Yeah, oh, totally.
So
yeah.
gloriously messy. I mean, some people could be like so frustrated that it's not clean and tidy.
Yeah.
And it is one heck of a mess. It's chaos. But how did you start to bring these elements in? Were you consciously doing it? Had you already integrated it? So now it's just how you use your voice?
Yeah, I think in the beginning I just started, I was like, okay, I'm just going to write some songs by myself, because the last album we had done together, we'd written most of the songs, you know, as a duo. So at first it was just a bit of an exploration. And then a group of my friends got together and got me for my birthday a voucher for the music shop down the road, like a really nice guitar shop. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, I've got a nice acoustic guitar. So I went in there, like, oh, I've got this voucher to use. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll get an electric. And so I got an electric guitar for the first time. And then that actually was the thing that was like, oh, this is totally different. And that sparked a lot of creativity for me.
Yeah.
With the songwriting.
What is it about the electric that changes things?
I just think you play it differently. You play it differently. And also, like, you know, you can play, I was playing, I don't know, different chords and I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
You know, it's like any instrument, right? Sometimes you get on the piano and, yeah.
Like a Rhodes would be different from an acoustic piano. Absolutely. And I have an electric and I feel the same way about that. That experience too. My electric's very heavy. Are they all really heavy? Are they all heavy? What's with this?
How heavy is it?
Heavy. That's the answer to that question. So you joined the club, and this was a while ago. I don't know if I've looked at the date. Let me have a little
squiz. 2018, 2019.
Yeah, maybe that sounds about right. Actually, let me have a little squiz of when you joined. Oh, that's not very important, but yeah. Oh my gosh, it's like your anniversary
today.
And pretty much.
Really?
Pretty much 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah. Thanks for joining the club 4 years ago. So nine of the 10 songs from your album.
Yeah.
We wrote in the club.
Yeah.
With a rogue 10th somewhere. Yeah. That was written elsewhere.
Which is the one I wonder that's left out. Oh, I know. No, I don't know.
Which one's not from the club? I do know which one, but I can't remember the name of it.
I'm just thinking Portugal. No, Portugal was in there. Winter was in there. Into the Storm, I think, is in there.
There's your list. There's your track list. What's not on there?
Oh, God, Pineapple. Never let you go searching. On my own?
Yeah.
On my own.
Surprises. Makes sense that you write. It makes sense that you write a song called "On My Own," outside of a community. That's really funny. So these songs came from, you know, you writing quite a few. Like you wrote in the club for years.
For years,
and then what sparked you wanting to put these together? Were you playing shows? Was it the lockdown that actually was like, well, I'm going to use this time to, you know, finesse those songs and record them.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely the lockdown. I mean, I knew that I wanted to make an album. And even at the beginning of the first lockdown, I thought I was ready for that album. I was like, right, I've got all the songs here.
Yeah.
Because I had written, you know.
51 in the club.
Yeah, exactly. And then actually when I look in retrospect, because I was applying for grants that whole time, and the grant that I got, when I got it, which was right at the end / beginning of like 2020, was totally different because I'd had all that time in lockdown to rewrite. I just went back, and I think in the past I had always settled a bit with my songwriting.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah. I went, oh, that'll do.
Yeah.
But always had a bit of a gnawing feeling. Oh, I actually think that could be better.
I want to talk about this.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to talk about this. I think this is really important. I think this is the difference between, like, this is the place where you can really elevate your songwriting is when you're honest with yourself about every line in your song.
Yeah.
Talk me through that.
Well, I think, I don't know what it was, whether it was confidence. I don't know why I used to do that. It's not that I didn't want to have great songs. You know what I think it was, actually? I walked the Camino and when you have to push yourself really physically through a barrier that maybe like I had one day in particular where, you know, I'd had to share a room with 20 people. I had 4 hours sleep because there was a few crazy people in the room, right? You know, and then I got up and walked 35 kilometers, and I was really physically exhausted, and I had to walk up a huge mountain, you know, but I did it. Like, actually, when you think that you can't go further, that was an eye-opener for me, like, oh, I'm way stronger than I thought.
Mm.
Oh, I've got way more in there than I know. And sometimes when you push through that, that's where all the good stuff is.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think that definitely helped with my writing, and I had made a real decision to like, okay, well, you know what? This time I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to keep working until it's till I feel totally comfortable.
And how did you do that? I mean, I'm sure each song was approached differently, but yeah. Is there a way that you would start going about doing that?
Yeah, I guess it was just really sort of very disciplined. I was like, right, okay, well, I've got, you know, a verse and a chorus of this song, or I've finished a version of it, but I still don't quite like that bit, or maybe, you know, maybe I need a bit more vulnerability in that for that to connect more, or, so I just, I don't know, reflection and then just knowing. You know, don't you? You know when it's there.
I can tell when it's definitely not there, and I can tell when it definitely is there. And sometimes I doubt the space in between.
Yes.
But when you know that it doesn't or know that it does, then you don't doubt that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
The space in between just tells me I got to keep going.
Yeah, I got to keep going.
And this is not too perfect. This is, you know, I'm still writing brand new songs every week, but if I want to go into that editing space, I'm willing to get my hands really dirty.
Yeah.
And rewrite multiple verses, multiple choruses, abandon the entire hook of the song to try to maybe refine it.
Yeah, and then use it in a different song.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
That's a really, you know, that's a space I want to open up and show more people about, like how to, commit to the most glorious version of the song. And it sometimes is exactly how you wrote it the first time. It sometimes is so free and liberating and has that freshness that it just comes down with.
Yeah. It's amazing when that happens.
Yeah,
that's for me, I feel like that's like, oh, that's a real, I've really channeled something there. And that's a.
Yeah.
But I know that.
Often there is simplicity in that song though.
That's true.
It's not a complex beast, you know.
No.
And sometimes those need a little bit more hours.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Energy.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like I'm definitely seeing the reward from that hard work. You know, like I feel like in the past, I always knew that I was a good singer, but actually what I wanted is people to say, I really love that song as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's one thing to be a good singer, but to be a good songwriter is, you know, that for me was like, okay, I really want good songs. And so people are connecting with these songs, and it's because I worked so hard to get it to a point where I was happy, and now other people are like, oh, well, like, you know, somebody said to me last night, I did a show here in Brisbane, oh, so, you know, in Portugal, when you do that riff and then you go down to that chord, like, what? Like, it's so good, but why did you do it? Like, it's like, oh, I don't know, but I just liked it, really. But, you know, like it's feels good that people are noticing, you know, those sorts of things.
And the beauty is they've had a whole year to listen to the album before you could make it up to Brisbane to play it, so they know it.
Yeah.
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 That's really cool. So you've committed to being disciplined about finessing your songs to the point where you're in love with everything that you've written and created.
Yeah.
And, you know, how long did this process take for 10 songs?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's kind of hard to know.
I mean, you showed up at 3 o'clock every day to edit.
Yeah. Oh, well, that probably most of 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And how long did you spend every afternoon doing that? Like an hour, two?
No, like
a good
three
session?
To six. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just did music every day. And if there was no song that needed editing, I'd just go and like learn somebody else's song or learn some new chords on the guitar, because my brother had been playing most of the guitar. Like I can play guitar, obviously, but because we were living in Brisbane and Melbourne, we'd often meet somewhere and only one person would bring a guitar, you know. It's like, and we also had no time to practice. So, you know, we just kept it simple. So he did most of the playing because he's a really great guitarist. So, yeah, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have to up my game here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, learning new chords or, you know, all those sorts of things.
Yeah. And, you got the grant, and then how did you make the choices that you made for your album? How did you come up with the plan that you came up with?
Yeah. Well, I had been, even before I got the grant, I was chatting to Fraser, who he owns the Avery Studios, and he was me, Josh, and him. We all sort of co-produced it, although they did most of the work. But I really wanted to work with somebody who loved the songs. So I had done demos and sent them around to a few people, and he came back and said, yeah, I really dig those songs. And then we had been, you know, in discussions for probably – like most of that 2020, because I had been applying for grants for ages to try and make an album. And then we all knew, because we all had lockdowns, we're all in lockdown, all of us had a long time to sort of think about, right, how are we going to make these songs work together? And then think about reference tracks for, you know, each song, and okay, well, we could do this here. So we'd had some planning time to think about that, and then
and then you all got together in a room.
Yeah, essentially. Like, we didn't rehearse. Like, I just worked – they were amazing musicians. And to be – I mean, they all know each other. So guitarist and bass player are identical twins, so that – helps. They play in a band with the drummer, who's Josh, who is also co-producing, so that's also great. And then Harry was on the keys. That was the core group. And then we spent 3 days in the studio, so no rehearsal.
What do you mean you didn't rehearse? So
we didn't rehearse. I mean, we got to the studio on the day.
And then you work out the arrangements?
You work out the arrangement, just run through it a few times and then track it live.
Yeah.
So we had 3 days.
So you did the pre-production part online, essentially, like the reference tracks, but then the arrangement, that sort of pre-production, you did on the recording day.
Oh, yeah, on the day. Yeah,
great.
Yeah. And they were all, I mean.
You got to trust in your skills at that point, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I had to practice. They are all amazing musicians, so, like, they were comfortable
They've been
with
practicing 20 years.
Yeah, and they were – I did want to use some of their creativity as well, and, like, some of their ideas, because, you know, I'm not an expert in their instruments, and that was really nice to sort of come up with that.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff together. And even Delaney, who played bass, he was like, oh, that was really fun. We don't often get to do that. Somebody has a really specific thought in mind. But, you know, it was not long after a lockdown, and it was like one of the first project that we'd all –
yeah.
Worked on. So there was, everyone was really grateful to just be making music, you know, and I think that helps.
Tell me how you navigate conversations about communicating what groove you want with other musicians, because I think that this is a question that I get or asked all the time, and I'm curious to know how other people answer that or how you do it.
Yeah, hey, well, I don't think I've got the answer to.
I mean, however, you've been able to communicate this and resulting in this super vibing, soulful album. Yeah. So at some point you've communicated that.
Yes.
So how do you communicate that?
Oh, it's a good question. I think Josh, because he was co-producing, he knew I had been very clear in what I had sort of. We were all very clear on what we were trying to achieve and the sound of that, and he knew all the reference songs. So often he would, if there was something not quite right, he'd flag it before I'd have to flag it. So he'd say, oh, no, don't do that there or whatever. And then if he missed it, I would just say, but in terms of the groove, I don't know, it just happened naturally to me.
But everyone had the reference tracks.
Everybody had the reference tracks.
Everyone kind of knew.
And the demos.
What the potential opportunities for this song could be based on the examples that we've given.
Yes.
And so you're creating a soundscape, like a color palette.
Yes.
Can you say that for groove? Let's call it a color palette for groove. I think we can call it that.
Yeah.
So you've created a color palette. These are the shades of brown and red we're using.
Yes.
And we're not using any yellows and blues. We're just using these colors. And so we're going to choose from something there, and we'll blend it when we're in the room together.
Yeah. And I, you know, like Josh and I had actually sent him tracks like, oh, I really love the drums in this track.
Yeah.
I thought maybe something like that could work in this song, or I really love the sound of the, you know, the drum sound they've got there, or this is cool. So, yeah, we'd had all those sort of, he knew what I
And was there any of the kind of like, and do it a little bit like this, like were you sort of verbalizing any of that?
No, I didn't have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always found myself just singing the groove to demonstrate what I want, just because I just feel like that's the closest connection I have with what I can hear in my head or feel in my heart or,
you know,
tap on my toes. It's like the closest connection out of me. I think
that's the best. Yeah, that's the best way to do it, rather than knowing, oh, less of the whatever. And, oh, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Not that symbol, that one. I know the names of them, but anyway, even if I didn't, less of that one and more of that one works. And quite a few singer-songwriters that I mentor, they feel like unless they have this language, they're less than, and it's just not true. Just not. I mean, firstly, you've written these great songs.
Yeah.
Don't even go into that space of being less than. You're showing up with your full creative capacity.
100%, yeah.
And now it's just how do we communicate things that actually probably don't all have words?
No. You know,
because it's a frequency, it's a sound, it's a color. It's a go put a name on that color. Good luck with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, a drummer would understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Totally with the, yeah. I mean, they would do the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? I was thinking, you know, if they're not a kid or whatever, yeah.
I think I've often, you know, people have thought that's quite endearing actually to be so verbally open about how this could sound.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't want to miss this opportunity to talk about these amazing strings. And I talk about any album that's got amazing strings, I'm going to talk about it because I'm a former string player and I still, write my own string arrangements. And so when I hear these glorious, joyful, almost Christmassy, but not like that's how much joy is in those. You know, in those string parts. I'm like, oh, we got to talk about this. So how did this get put on afterwards? Was this the icing on the beautiful, already, you know, glorious cake?
Yes, it was the icing on the cake. Well, it was a guy called Jonathan Dreyfuss who, I mean, he played all of them, all of the strings, and you just send him the song and then he sort of sends it back. I think he does film scores and all sorts of amazing things. Yeah. and most of the time I'd sort of be like, oh, that's great, a bit more tension in that one. Or you could definitely give him feedback and he'd send something back. The Never Let You Go, which has got the strings intro, which in the studio we did that as a like an instrumental intro. It was like da 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 da.
And you do that later in the track.
We do that later in the track. But I had always heard that song like, because I really love all kinds of music.
Like the string part.
Yeah, those old 50s. Yeah. I love the string intros.
Yeah.
And I gave him that brief and it's pretty much, you know, that he nailed that. That is sort of what that is.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was nice. That's how I'd heard it, you know.
And this was quite a lot of the music I listened to too, like growing up. So I think why I was so enamored with your album is because I know you as a songwriter and you created this musical, you know, beast that just resonates with everything I love. And I was so blown away. Anyway, I was like, yeah, she even got the great strings, you know, in that.
Yeah. And we all worked really hard actually. And even with like Fraser, cause you know, he mixed it as well. Like there was a lot of time where I was, whilst it was important for the songs, I also was really conscious having sung folk music for a long time, I really wanted people to understand what I could do with my voice.
Yeah.
So that was also important, the voice and the songs to breathe. Like, you know, when we did Portugal, that was one song we did try numerous ways. It was the only one we had real trouble with actually. Because the more we tried to contain that song, the worse it sounded. And so we just had to like, okay, we're going to just leave that song for today. Let's come back to that one later. And it was, when we just made it really minimal, really. And allowed the rest of it to breathe, and then, you know.
Then it happened.
Then it happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got a question for you that I like to ask everybody.
Yes.
What does the magic of songwriting mean to you?
The magic of songwriting. I think for me it's like a connection to something outside of yourself. That's really, I mean, and it gives you the ability to express yourself.
Mm. What is the thing you're connected to outside of yourself?
I don't know.
Or
just,
who? Or
I don't know. Just something. You know. Sometimes when you perform, it's like, oh, after you've done it, it's sort of like, it's like a wake up moment. You know, like you're just so in it. Yeah, I really love that about both songwriting and performing.
Yeah.
Just that real moment of it feels like magic to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not doubting anything you're saying. I'm just looking for more words. I'm totally on board with what you're saying.
But, the magic of songwriting, well, I mean, in itself, isn't it magic? Like you think, okay, I've got some chords. Like how many songwriters are there in the world and we're all making different songs? That in itself is like.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You think, oh, there's only so many notes in a scale and.
There's only so many frequencies between the octave too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're all creating different songs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's magic. Yeah.
I love that, you know, in the club we get a theme and then everyone in your group, so say 10 people, write completely different songs with the exact same theme guidelines. And sometimes those guidelines are very specific, like, you know, this is the key or this is the time signature or this is the scale to write over. And yet, of course, they're going to be worlds apart.
So different. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I do love that about the songwriting group.
Yeah. We'll come back to what you were saying, like connection to something outside of yourself, and yet whilst you're writing and performing, you're taken somewhere, like you're in a different realm or you're more connected to yourself or there's.
Yeah, or more connected to, I don't know what would be the right way to express it without sounding like cosmic or.
You can sound cosmic.
Okay. You know, like an energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're so in the moment. When you just allow yourself to give into that and you're so in that moment and you just kind of, it's like, you know, if you were like, I don't know how to explain it, but just, you're just so in it that you're not really there, but you are, but you're not.
Yeah.
You know, you just let everything go. Not thinking, maybe.
Not thinking, yeah, wholly present.
Wholly present, wholly present.
I actually think that word, wholly present, whilst I did say W-H-O-L,
yes.
I actually think it's H-O-L-E-Y, H-O-L-Y.
Yeah.
Wholly present.
Wholly present.
Holy moly. That has just taken this to a whole new place for me mentally.
Yeah.
Just,
I just think it's something
sacred.
Yeah, it is sacred.
Without being precious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
And that's why, you know, like I love when it's the audience, when it's a bit of to and fro with each other, you know. It's like, oh, we're in this together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. So we would absolutely love to hear a song from you.
Okay, yes.
So could you share a little bit about, you know, have you chosen a song or what you're going to play?
I think I'll do Winter whilst it's not on the electric guitar or any one of the ones that really is pushed outside of my folk. It's not.
It's more folky than the
others. It's more folky than the others.
I thought maybe we should do something else then.
Okay.
Because you've just talked about how this is, like, let's get to hear your voice.
Yeah, okay. Well, we could do Searching for More.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, let's do that one.
Yeah, yeah. I get that, you know, you're in headquarters and there's my acoustic there to play and it's morning and who really wants to let it rip?
Yeah.
But I want you to let it rip.
Yeah, okay.
I want you to show us your magic.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, and it's, I guess it's touches on everything that I was just talking about.
So you wrote Searching to the theme Immunity.
Ah, Immunity.
Yeah. So the theme for that week, let me share a little bit more about that. Cause you know, you don't have to honour the theme, but it's just a jumping off point.
Oh, totally.
So I said to everybody, you have been given a magic power to become – it's totally my jam, right? I totally write these. You have been given a magic power to become immune to anything of your choosing. What do you choose to be immune to?
Wow.
That was a bit timely for 2018, wasn't it, Francesca?
Yes.
And the guideline was to position your song in the forest.
Okay. Oh, I reckon that would have been the starting point for me then, because I've walked yeah. Camino.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, oh, in the forest. Yeah. Walking. And that's probably what kickstarted it.
Yeah. I love, sometimes just having something that just, why I say, you know, position yourself in the forest is you've got a starting place.
Yeah.
You're in the forest. Are you near a tree? Are you climbing it? Are you, you know, are you a bird perched in it? Are you, what are you doing? Are you chopping down a tree? Tell us about this forest. Yeah. You've got a starting place. And whether anyone wants to honour that or not is not actually even relevant. What's relevant is if you need a starting point, there you go, you got one.
Yeah. Well, I think like I love those themes because you're like, you never know where you're going to end up or where everybody else is going to end up. And, you know, like when I wrote Gold, the theme was pineapple.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense to me.
Does it? Yeah.
I mean, you cut open a pineapple, what color is it?
A yellowy gold.
Well, it was so I was struggling to come up with a theme that week and so I just was like, look to your left, Francesca, and I looked to my left and there was a book with a pineapple on it. I was like, okay. So everybody look to your left, what do you see?
Yes.
That was the theme.
And that was the thing. And I looked to the left and saw probably my Camino certificate.
And it's got a pineapple on it?
Oh, no, wait. I think it was like, I know the gold shell, you know.
That's right.
Logo or something.
It wasn't relevant that it was pineapple. The point was what's on your left.
Yes, what's on your left.
And then write about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So let's come back to searching for more.
Yeah.
And you had to position yourself in the forest.
Yeah. And I do remember the songwriting process for this one. I'd not long had my electric and I sort of plugged it into GarageBand and put a bit of a distortion, I think, on it. And then I got the guitar riff first and then after that I heard the backing vocals. So there's a two harmony, part harmony, you know, I guess just doing part of the chord, but in between. You won't hear it today, but I wrote the rest of the lyrics around those backing vocals. So I recorded the backing vocals, I put a tambourine in, and then the rest.
Wow.
So I worked in around that.
And before you play it, you've mentioned the Camino a couple of times.
Yeah.
Let's just go there because I think that would be a really beautiful little sprinkling on this conversation. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, it's a long walk through. I mean, it starts in – well, there's lots of them that start all over the place. But the one I did, it does start in France, but I started in Pamplona. I went over with a friend and we did it. And it's a pilgrimage. And I had friends who had done it and raved about it. And so I was like, yeah, I want to do that. And sometimes as a kid, I used to have dreams about last night I dreamt that, you know, I'm swimming from Brisbane to Rockhampton or, walking from Adelaide to, you know, Brisbane or like I had those
long,
sort of
long distance, physical
things.
Oh gosh.
I don't know why. Never really been into exercise or walking. So, yeah. But so I went with a friend and it was just like it was incredibly hard sometimes. But then incredibly joyful as well. And like you think the simplicity of just getting up every day, eating some food, walking all day, having the space to just, I don't know, maybe process things that you hadn't processed in the past or, you know, think about, like actually the other day I found my notebook where I'd written down, because there's no internet, like, you know, you're not checking your phone during the day. So my friend and I would write down age-old questions, like I've written down age-old questions and it's things like
– A job?
No, age-old.
Oh, age-old, sorry.
Like just, you know, things that you think of that probably you're not thinking of normally, like, you know, we were walking across Roman roads. It's like, oh, what shoes did Roman soldiers wear? Was it just sandals or was there other, you know, like, because you're walking, like, you're thinking about blisters. I know it's a bit boring, but.
And you buy these $300 shoes and they just wore sandals.
They just wore sandals. Or, you know, where does the term rat bag come from? Was it actually a bag of rats? You know, all those things. And then we'd write them down at the end of the day, we'd check them. So, yeah, just having that time to kind of just really
be curious,
push yourself. And then, like, you sleep like you've never slept before.
I remember my first night on the overland track, that sleep, I couldn't function. Yeah. I was wiped after the first day. But at the same time, I was wired. So I was lying in bed desperate. Firstly, I was so exhausted and then I was wired. And I think I stayed up for dinner. I can't even remember. Mm. I was just so tired.
Yeah. You just have no choice but to fall asleep, you know. So you can try and stay awake, but it is not going
to
happen.
Yeah. It's such a good feeling to be physically tired and ready for rest at the end of the day, isn't it?
And I guess that amount of exercise too, when we're city folk, and also we met a lot of interesting people, you know, because everyone's doing it for a different reason. It's like, oh, why are you walking the Camino, you know?
Why did you walk the Camino? Was it just purely out of that interest or?
I think probably I had maybe like subconsciously wanted to shift a few things for myself. I heard somebody talking about, you know, people who like choose to do a pilgrimage or something like that, like that it's, a choice. How do they put it? Like, you're doing it for the journey, not for the destination. So, yeah, I think I had just wanted to push myself out of my comfort zone, I don't know.
I think this is the reason why I write songs.
Is it?
It's for the journey, not the destination.
Yeah, right.
Though it's nice to get to the place.
Yeah,
you know, and make some money and be appreciated and have someone sing your song back to you.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm really in it for the journey.
You're in it for the journey. Amazing.
Are you in songwriting for the journey or are you in it for the destination?
That's a very good question. I think both, but I also really love performing.
Yeah. So that's the destination for songwriting, is that it's the means to the performance.
Yeah.
End. That sounds a bit dramatic, but.
Yeah. I mean, I love song. Yeah. Yeah. Like, but it is the ultimate thing, I think, for me is the performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's get you performing.
Okay.
Let's do it. Performing live at iHeart Songwriting Club headquarters, Searching for More by Hannah Ackfield.
Okay. I have walked this road alone for longer than I can fathom. I've been searching for more. I kick up the dust with these well-worn boots. My body aches, this pack's a dead weight. I've been searching for more. My mind is free from worry and stress. My legs keep on moving despite their distress. I've been searching for more. I've been searching for more, for more. Oh, bound and bound to live life and not feel alive. I'll keep searching for more.
I love that. I love the space that you create in that song for all of those beautiful backing vocals that are in the recording. And when I hear it stripped back like this, I hear the space.
Yes.
And it's so lusciously filled in the production.
It is, yeah. Oh,
so great. And so in the songwriting, you wrote that around the backing vocals.
I did, yeah.
So the space existed from the beginning.
Yes.
The space for all of those glorious...
Well, yeah, I heard the backing vocals first.
Yeah.
Before anything else.
Yeah.
So they're sort of integral to the
the
song, really.
The like structure of the song.
The structure of the song, like I wouldn't have, I have walked. I would have put that in a different, totally different spot.
The
without,
phrasing and the melody was based around the structure of the backing vocal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever done that before. I think that's a really great guideline for the club.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that a guideline for the club. Yes. My friend Hannah Ackfield. so beautiful and glorious. And it totally works on acoustic guitar.
Yeah, it does.
It really
surprisingly.
Does. Was that the first time it's had a go?
I've done it on acoustic before when I've had to, you know, like
play, radio interviews.
Yeah, radio or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too hard to take an amp in or...
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and because it's sort of pretty minimal anyway, it doesn't really matter so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it works on acoustic.
And your voice. I mean, you could sing the phone book. I mean, who even has a phone book?
But, yeah, who's got a phone book? Yeah.
So I suppose with a voice like as extraordinary as yours and so flexible as yours and so colourful, like there's so much colour in your voice.
It's very nice of you.
I feel like you could get away with a half-assed song. You know what I'm saying?
Like yes.
You could. You because the voice shines, the song would be secondary to that. However, you've done the thing that you wanted to do is to finesse all the songs to a place where the song shines as much as the voice.
Yeah.
That's pretty special.
Thank you. I mean, I did, you know, I've been in that space. I'm like, oh, I don't feel that, you know, that this song is not as good as it could be, but I have gotten away with it because I can sing it well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel good.
Yeah. It feels a little dishonest.
Yeah.
A little, is that the right word? I'm not sure if that's the right word.
Yeah. Like,
I can't sing any of my
smoke and mirrors. Is that
I said dishonest. You say smoke and mirrors. I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like we're creating an illusion that this is a great song based on my amazing voice.
Yeah. Correct. Whereas like you look at Bob Dylan and whilst I don't, like he's an amazing songwriter, but if he wrote terrible songs, well, he wouldn't get away with it.
No.
No.
I've come in to music from a performance aspect and songwriting I came to much later. Mm. Well, I always wrote songs, but I didn't have the discipline around songwriting like I had around practicing an instrument and skilling up around the instrument. And so I have lived that life too. I have all of my old EPs and albums are there for anyone to hear. I've left them up online because I want to expose. I want to show. I don't want to because I'm so transparent about my songwriting journey, I want to show that I can't sing those old songs anymore.
Yeah.
There's nothing about them that I resonate with.
Nothing at all?
No,
yeah,
nothing.
Right.
I'm a different person.
Yeah.
And it's all smoke and mirrors.
Mm.
It's not.
It would be an interesting.
I would never be able to write that again anymore.
Again.
You know, like I write differently. I am a different person. I'm expressing based on who I am in this moment. but I've also got a whole lot more skill around songwriting. So the expression palette is greater.
Yes.
The ability definitely. To express is more refined.
It would be an interesting exercise, wouldn't it, to go back and look at, like, pick one of your old songs.
Like, we're talking like 20 year ago, right?
Yeah. Look at one of your old songs and go, oh, if I was going to write that today, what would I write?
Oh, we've got two themes for the club now.
Yeah, you know.
From this conversation.
Or even if I was to rewrite this, like, what would I change about this song if I was to rewrite it so yeah. that I felt good about it? Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much.
No worries. That's we should do that.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I've been rewriting a lot of my older songs that I'm, you know, using for other, you know, projects. And it's so much easier to rewrite songs when you've got, you know, a catalogue of hundreds of songs that you could take or leave.
Yeah.
Like there's no... I'm not precious about them. They're not like these exquisite gems that I only birth four times a year. I'm writing all the time.
Yeah.
Like I wrote five songs last week.
Yeah, amazing.
You know, so I'm not precious about them.
I'm always inspired by how much you get done in an hour with your songwriting. It's like, oh, that's amazing what you can achieve in an hour compared to what I can achieve generally in an hour.
To be completely like... straight up though, I've been doing the hour practice for 410 weeks.
Yeah.
And you did 50 of those in the
club.
Yeah,
that's true. That's
so
true.
So if I go back to my first year, I did a retrospective of my my 400 songs. Yeah. And the first year was like, yeah, they're still a bit flip floppy. Yeah. You know, there's not really much. What I did recognize from those first 100 songs is that I can continue to grow as a songwriter. That was it.
Yes.
It was the belief that I can continue to grow as a songwriter because I thought that it was based on talent alone.
Mm-mm.
And I recognized that I could. So that was the opening for me.
Mm.
The songs were better marginally. But the real improvement, like the real transformation where I felt like I am a master, but I'll always be a learner, if that makes sense. Like I felt masterful around my learning, let's put it that way, is around 380 songs.
Yeah, wow.
It's like such a different space.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you wanted to be productive in 1 hour, it's not everyone's goal, right?
Of course, yeah.
But just keep going. So Hannah, we want people to go and listen to everything that you do and follow everything that you do. So where would you like them to go?
Oh, you can go to hannahrackfield.com. Oh, you know, it's just
we'll pop a link. We'll pop a link in the notes.
Yeah, I'm all over the internet. Ackfield.
She's dominating the internet. No, she's trending right now.
I wish.
We can make that happen. Come on, everybody. Get on the internet.
Become internet dominators. It doesn't sound great, but does it? For the right reasons. For the right reasons. Yeah. So yeah, hannahrackfield.com. And it's anyway, if you put a link up, I don't need to spell my last name. It's a bit of a funny one. I thought about, you know, getting a performance name.
Are you serious? My name is Francesca De Valance.
It's such a great name.
I think people can spell Hannah Ackfield.
Well, you'd be surprised.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for sharing and for the laughs and your spirit. Thank you, Hannah.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure to spend this time with you. To help others connect with the magic of songwriting, we'd love it if you'd take a moment to rate or review our podcast or share it with anyone you think would benefit from it. And if you want to find your community of songwriters, visit us at iHeartSongwritingClub.com and let us help you reconnect with the magic of songwriting.